I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening as we may gather together to do the business of this county. We thank you for the blessings you've shed on America and pray for our country and those in high places that they might do the things that would be pleasing unto you. We pray for the divisions in our country and pray for love to prevail where there's dissension. We pray that we might all be understanding of one another and work together for a better union of this country. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine as they fight off a terrible enemy and suffer the devastation of war. We pray for those who suffer in every way in this country, and we pray for their well-being. Help us to know what to do to help those around us to be good neighbors. And just now, we pray your blessing upon this meeting. We ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Chance to look at the claims, and I think we have 1 7 minutes, maybe.
Yeah,
okay. Meaning I wasn't here. And I apologize, I wasn't here last time. It wasn't something I had control over. I did have a family emergency and had to take my wife to the hospital. And she's fine now, and I appreciate your patience and with me over that. I'll try to make it up to you. Okay.
I have had a chance to see the minutes and the claims.
Okay. Motion?
Motion to approve minutes and claims.
A second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. Okay. We don't quite have everything on the agenda that we're actually going to talk about tonight. I apologize for that, but we get a lot of things that come up at last minute. It seems like we can't really make an agenda too far ahead of time. It'll just be inaccurate. But tonight, first thing we do have on here, we are going to allow a discussion about the rezoning for James and Teresa Schultz. We are, however, not going to vote on that tonight because our planning director is not here. Like to be able to hear from her. I know some of you may have come to speak about that issue, and I'd like to give everyone a couple of minutes apiece to address that if you'd like, and we'll take that into consideration, and we'll probably make a final decision at our next meeting. If anyone would like to address the rezoning issue, feel free to come to the mic. Either in favor or against or whatever you have to say. Jim?
There we go. All right, so I'm Jim Schultz. I'm one of the petitioners on this. And if anybody hasn't seen this application, I mean, it's been circulating now since February, and we sent it to all of our neighbors prior to even approaching the Plan Commission. And we tried to do our due diligence to make sure that everybody was on board. And actually, we had a couple of our neighbors that said, oh, can we join? So, because they, you know, disliked the concept. But I think we're left with two large buildings that were part of Star Electric. Star Electric's operated in the county now since 1978, 79, when we moved here. And it's operated on Greasy Creek since then, and the buildings were a outcome of space needs for that. We have been paying a lot of taxes on that 2 acres, probably the highest 2 acres in Brown County, especially in an R1 or an R2. Our 2022 paying 23 taxes were just over $3,000, which for 2 acres is pretty stout. And we need to find another use for these buildings, and we've always wanted to have some sort of, or we still saw the need for more affordable housing or workforce housing, and we've been working with the Plan Commission through Chris and to Kayla for the last 2 years, to figure out a different avenue other than getting a GB for this with, I called it covenants originally, and the attorney, David Schilling, for the Plan Commission said that a better word for it was conditions. And so, and we know that there may be some other conditions that we need to add to that. And I talked to Kayla, and she said that she was going to wait until the outcome of this meeting in order to get the final conditions on it. But I'm willing to answer any questions you have about it, or, you know, just anything at all, or I'll sit down and let others talk. It doesn't matter.
The only question I have, well, I have a couple questions. I know you were formerly in a trade business, electrician, that ran an electrical company. Did you operate out of this property when you had that business?
Yeah, we've operated out of that property really since we bought it in like 1981, maybe, I'm guessing. And so, and not only that, if you look at our document, our little 12-page here, I mean, there's been commerce going on there since 1895 at least. And because the Volans, he was a carpenter and built many of the houses. He's one of the people that Frank Hohenberger pictured, and, you know, as a carpenter and whatnot. So it's always been either a combination of agriculture and business. So, and we've had a special exception since, I don't know, 90-something. And we were one of the few people that had a special exception because most people just didn't take the time to do it. And it certainly increased the amount of taxes we paid because we were sitting there. But we've been, the buildings are all built to commercial standards. They've got fire alarm systems, central fire alarm systems. They're all wired in pipe. They're, you know, they're stout buildings. And short of knocking them down and, you know, digging a hole and burying them and getting down into a complex, our neighbors at $500, $600, $700 a year, you know, we don't know what to do other than this. So we actually think the traffic will be reduced from the business because Brown County Coffee, who is our youngest son, it was also had been in that building now. Maybe 10, 11, 12 years as Star Electric started winding down. We started ramping that up. And Nick's officially moving to Naubon in June. He bought the property next to Dunham's, and so he's vacating that. So the building is ostensibly, both buildings are in need of something. And, you know, they're air conditioned, they're heated, they're insulated, they're wired, you know, so on and on and on. So. Any more questions?
So you have essentially operated some businesses out of there under special exception in the past.
Yeah, we still do. I mean, as evidenced by the amount of our property taxes, if we didn't have the special exception, it would have been reduced. And if it was just a residence, looking at the comps in the neighborhood, it'd probably be about, you know, be way less than 1,000.
So you operated within the rules in the past.
Yeah, yeah. We were one of the few people that went and got that. I think when we were looking at census data in, oh, I don't know, maybe 10, 12, 15, something like that, there was 383 businesses in Brown County, and you counted them all up, including all the ones in Nashville, and 12 or 13 special exceptions that were in the county, and, you know, it didn't add up to 383. So.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that information. I will say that I'm almost certain that if we should go through with this, that there will be a number of conditions attached to it. We would not want this property to become another set of tourist homes. We don't want it to become another high-traffic business with, you know, cars and trucks going in and out of. General business pretty much opens the door to anything and everything, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
And but I've also looked at this, and I can't seem to figure out any way you can do what you want to do without that zoning.
That is what we came up with.
Kind of puts you in a between a rock and a hard place, and kind of between the rules.
Right.
So we may be able to tailor this that could work for you, and yet keep things from happening that your neighbors wouldn't want to see happen.
Yeah, and we intend to continue to be a neighbor.
Yeah.
So we want that too, and I think that if you look over the agenda of the Plan Commission for the last 5 years and count up how many homes have gone to tourist homes that had to go through the Plan Commission, we followed one when we were up in front of the Plan Commission, and you know, there goes another residential house into a tourist home. And I don't know if we're at 400 yet, but it, you know, it's a big number that we've taken out of, and our schools show the you know, the consequences of that, as does just the vibrancy of young people in the county, because most people can't come and live here and buy in, because the buy-in price now is over the top. So,
okay, all right, thanks, Jim. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak?
I would.
All right, a couple minutes, John.
For your information, I heard Mr. Schultz reference that he spent 2 years studying this. We've not been informed at all, and for your information, that is all septic on Greasy Creek.
Let me just interrupt you there, John.
Okay.
He is not at that point where you would be involved with any septic issues.
Well,
he has not, has not been rezoned. It's not, he's not applied for a building permit, and so you're not involved in this yet.
Sure.
And if he puts in a commercial system, you won't be involved with it anyway.
Okay? Yes, we will.
So I think we, unless you have anything else to say that's on a different topic, a different subject to this matter, you're done, okay?
Why don't you let me speak?
What, because you're talking about something that is irrelevant.
What I'm talking about is a formal state
procedure. 1 minute.
And I will give you a copy of what the procedure is required by the state to put in.
What he's doing.
That is not what we're doing yet. He has not got to that point in time.
But according to the
agenda, we do not want to know about the rules for septic systems. Because he's not got to that. He has not even applied for a building permit yet, sir.
He's got to do this before he applies for a building permit, Jerry.
Listen, I think we've heard all we need to hear from you, John. Would you please sit down?
I'd like to make a motion.
Yeah.
I'd like to make the motion to go ahead and table tonight.
Okay.
And we'll take a look at it in 2 weeks.
I got it.
Yeah.
Can some of us talk about it, or is?
I think he's pretty well ended it.
Get away.
Okay. If we have someone who wants to talk reasonable and pertinent to the subject at hand, you may come.
I think
two I'm minutes. Not. Okay.
Okay.
My name is Jeff Hagen. I'm an artist and an author, and I'm speaking on behalf of the proposal. And I'll make it real brief.
Okay.
I moved down here a couple years ago. I got accepted in the Guild here. Fell in love with an Indiana girl down here. And came down, went to an artist alliance meeting, and met one of the Schultzes, Terry Schultz. And I was having difficulty finding a place to live. I'm a senior. I went through a heart attack and cancer and other things. So I was looking for a place to stay and still be an artist in this community. They were kind enough to offer me affordable housing. And so I'm renting the farmhouse out front. And since I've become an asset to the community, I judge the public shows here 3 years in a row. And I do a lot of things for the community. I'm exemplifying what will be coming down, or basically when I use the art farm. I'm a creative person. I think back to the origins of this town. Bill Pittman had the Pittman Inn over here and allowed artists to stay there at affordable prices. Back in the turn of the century, which made this an art colony, which went from 20 to 65 artists in a short time. I see Terry and Jim as send-ups of the Pittmans. They allowed me to have affordable housing, and I think with the art farm proposal that we've got in front of you, that a few other artists would come and be part of the community, and it could be another TC Steel in the group.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
So I'm Lucy Schultz. I'm the daughter of Tim Burgerton, Jim and Terry Schultz. Basically, what I'm trying to help them get this off the ground, I also see myself being part of this in the future. I could see myself possibly running this someday. So I'm a nurse at Riley Hospital. I've been there 11 years. So I also manage Riley Nicholson. He's a rising country music star. I brought him to Brown County High School. I graduated from there in 96. And what I did was I went back to the yearbooks and I kind of compared, like, number-wise, how many kids were lacking versus when I went to school. So there's, like, about 200 less kids just in four grades. So if you break it down, that's like, you know, 60 to 100 families that we're lacking. And every year, we need to get those families back here. I just see that this being we've raised, so many families have gone through the farmhouse and been raised, gotten on the bus and gone and gone to school. So I just, another thing that I'm passionate about is that we have a couple people on the property that have heart issues, so I'm hoping to get an AED on the property. And one thing that I love about the property is that lights go out and the power comes on because there's a generator for everybody.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Roll or comment?
I'd like to make a motion.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and table it.
Okay.
Address it at the next
meeting. Motion to table to our next meeting.
Second.
Motion to second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you all, and if you'd like, please come back in 2 weeks. Our next meeting is.
That'll be great.
I've got
seven. Yeah, we'll be in 2 weeks again.
Okay.
And John, at the appropriate time, we'd be glad to hear from you.
Income.
We're not at that point yet, okay?
All I was trying to do was tell you what the procedure is required by the state. I appreciate your insistence.
A number of people working on it, thanks to Scott Rudd and Kevin Allen and Mike Moga and some others that have been looking into the possibilities of reopening that crossing. And I have a number of documents up here that have been proposed that may be relevant to that process. But at this point in time, I'd invite Scott or Kevin, either one of you, to come and tell us what the latest is that you know of. And
sure. Is Mike on the phone yet, Julie? It looked like he was struggling to get in.
He's here. We have no sound.
Can you have his cell phone? We get speakerphone with that. I think
yeah.
We may know him. Just to hear what the commissioners have any questions.
Let me see. Let me get on the Zoom meeting.
Okay. glad you're not going to put it on speakerphone. We're getting ready to have a conversation. I got him. I thought we were... Dang, did you get him on it? Okay, she might have you on Zoom.
Go ahead.
Can go ahead and speak on Zoom, Mike.
Speak on Zoom.
Just letting you speak.
Well, yeah, I can.
Yeah.
We'll just
go here.
I might have to meet Julie.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
Yeah, hold on, Mike.
A little technical difficult here.
Excuse I think us. We're ready, and Mike can hear us, and I think they can hear you too, Mike. I would just open up with saying, you know, people put, a lot of folks that you mentioned have put really dozens and dozens of hours into this in the last couple weeks, and last, I guess it's been 3 weeks or a month now. We prepared what I think is the absolute best petition we can possibly muster. And it's got a growing number of community supporters. The school has joined in asking for the improvement of safety by opening a crossing. I've got a letter from the superintendent, Lee Tracy. The sheriff, my understanding is, has a letter supporting the opening of this. And you've seen all the others, including, you know, at your last time when we discussed this, the commissioners, you know, joined that list of Chamber of the CVB and Farm Bureau and others. At this point, I think you've received some of the documents. I'd say we're 95% of the way there, if not more. I've got some support letters that are still kind of trickling in that I'd like to file into there. Beyond that, I guess, Mike, I don't know if you have anything to add. They can hear you though on speaker.
Yeah, no, I'll just echo that. You know, we put a lot of time, the whole party, on getting this petition together. We feel it's in a strong place. And we're ready to, you know, present to the commissioners, and, you know, commissioners, it's up to you whether or not you want to go ahead and submit it to NDOT or how you want to proceed.
I would add that, getting an echo here. Mike, I'm going to hang up. Mike, I'm going to hang up on you. Hopefully he's still here. Kevin's done a lot of work on this. He's done some work on the signage, which it looks like he's got examples here. I don't know if those are in front of them up there, but my understanding is the signage and that related safety equipment would be $5,000 or less. There is the cost of the crossing and the concrete itself, which I'm sure the railroad would not want us to touch. I don't think we want to either. That should not be a very expensive expense if you know, things are done with certain types of materials, you know, that you would expect in that kind of application. So beyond that, I know our you know, the Barnes and Thornburg has been, you know, very helpful, and Jerry joined a meeting with NDOT yesterday or the day before, learning more about how this can go forward, and you know, we stressed that we want the public to be made aware of you know, the process, and that they should know what's happening in this petition as it advances to NDOT. And so we had a good meeting with NDOT. They've been very helpful in that way. And so with that, I'd just be happy to, you know, ask you to really move this forward. I'll just tell you, I don't have much left to put into the petition or what else we can do with it. And NDOT is ready to receive it.
Okay, it's my understanding that we could petition NDOT, and this would not necessarily trigger the railroad to take any legal action against us. We are attempting to basically revisit the closing that happened 3 years ago, where we did make an agreement with the railroad to close it. We don't know for sure yet exactly how they will look at this. We're hoping they will look at it favorably. We have a number of legislators in Indiana involved with it that are in favor of it, have supported it, and we hope that the railroad might take a serious look at this and allow us to do this. I don't think, unless Mike Moby tells me different, there's any reason why we couldn't go ahead and execute the petition and go ahead and give it to NDOT and see what becomes of that there with them, which I think they may be favorable. And in the interim, have someone at least make contact with the railroad. We might have maybe someone of more stature than Brown County Commissioners, maybe go to bat for us. We find someone in the state legislature be willing to maybe talk to them about it. So we get a feel for how they would look at this and before we actually move to try to reopen it. Because it will depend on the railroad's attitude. It is their railroad. They own the property. They do have the right of way as well as owning the property. And railroads are still very important in this country. They once were the mode of transportation. As we all know, that's what built America was railroads, and they're still very important. And they still have a very important place in moving goods at the least possible cost. And they still have a lot of respect from all the lawmakers, federal included. And they do have certainly a priority in most cases to let the railroad operate as freely as possible. So. I think we can go ahead and take this move tonight and then move forward from there and see how things progress. It's going to be one step at a time. It's not as simple as it was to close it, but we'd like to move in that direction. The commissioners of Brown County are in favor of it, and we'd like to see it reopened. And so I think we'll do what we can. We can't guarantee anybody what's going to happen because it is beyond our control, but we can make the requests. So, I guess I would entertain a motion.
Are we going to ask one of the legislators, i.e. Matt Pierce or somebody with the railroad first before we send the petition?
I'd like to get some feedback from the railroad. I'd like to see what they're thinking.
I think that's a great, both of you, I think I totally agree with. I have talked with Matt Pierce, and he suggests that we focus on getting the petition to NDOT, which actually opens the conversation with the railroad. They can attend, you know, participate, provide input in that process if they have a problem. If they don't, it's open. So, yeah, that is exactly, that's the first step, is you submit the petition. It triggers a process of stakeholder involvement. We want locals to have a stake and a say. That was our priority yesterday in NDOT, and we want that equal participation, if we even have to go there, right? You know how I feel about that, so.
Kevin, you had something, and also well, ran
Scott back just touched on it briefly, and all of this, let's reach out to the railroads and everything, it's all great ideas. As you prepare this petition, that is what this petition is officially giving the railroad legal notice. And I'll just the heading of it is State of Indiana DOT and participation with Brown County with the CSX Railroad being the respondent petitions them to open the negotiations. So to Ron and Chuck's point of starting, that's what this petition is doing, is starting that process.
Doesn't really obligate us to anything other than we are going to ask NDOT
if
they would consider this, and then from there would move to the railroad.
Okay, correct,
yeah.
Jerry, I just reinforce that. It's NDOT's call. I mean, what was presented in these meetings before is NDOT has the responsibility to make a decision whether or not they're going to open it or not. All you're doing is opening it up to NDOT. So you have no obligation. There's no risk. I don't see any downside on the commissioner signing this thing. It's on NDOT, and then let the negotiations begin.
What about Mr. Rudd gets done? What about you, sir, Mike Magner? What kind of cost is this going to cost the county?
Right now, I don't think it should cost the county anything. I mean, it's not in our budget to do anything with the railroad crossing. And
what about the slab?
Well, that's been one of my concerns since day one, was the safety of the slab, which is a whole other issue. The slab is considered a small structure, a low water crossing. It's not big enough to be in the bridge inventory, so there's no federal funds involved there. So,
can it be recapped with more concrete?
I actually have our consultant who does our bridge inspection. they had been down to look at it, but the water was up a little bit, so we couldn't actually see the beams underneath it, so they were going to come back when the water was down. But we're going to do a safety evaluation on the slab. So that is a major liability if somebody gets hurt there, because you know they're going to sue the county if somebody slips and falls or the water's up and they get washed off the slab.
Slab's not on the railroad property.
No, it's county.
Yeah, county, right.
Yeah, because it can get under 10 or 12 foot of water, so it's a safety concern.
Yeah.
Mike, how's that slab issue any different than one off 135?
I mean, there's 135 is not ours. State highways.
The slab going off to the right is state, not county?
You mean off at the first curve?
Yeah.
That's a private road.
Yeah. Okay, ours. But there's a slab there that allows people to go in and out, right?
Right, but it's not ours.
It's private.
This yeah. is private road. So this is a county road, so it would be the liability would be on the county.
And that slab's been there how long?
Yeah, we may want to put a couple of high water signs or something there if they're not already.
Well, I had some warning signs there and they got stolen.
Yeah.
So it needs to be re-signed.
Just Randall?
Yeah. For the last 3 years, of time at least.
Here, come up to the mic, if you would please, sir.
Sure. I'm Randall Pfluger with the Knobstone Hiking Trail Association. For the last several years, since we've been addressing the commissioners, I'm aware of a balancing act in people's minds between the hypothesis that the railroad would take umbrage with an out-and-out refutation of the agreement one way or another, and what to do, as Scott says, to do the right thing. It's a balancing act. Well, you have, so the way I see it, in part, and might help with some motivation, is this. On one hand, you have a hypothesis completely unstated at this point, directly by the railroad, that they might take umbrage. We could color that any color we want to right now, whether they're really angry or they're strapped with cash and won't do a darn thing. I think you know which way I think about that. But on the other side of that balancing act is this. You have the certainty, the absolute dead-to-right certainty, that for the past 3 years, Jennifer Ruff and other people on that road have been deprived of rapid access by emergency services. That's absolutely certain. It's incontrovertible. So you have the hypothesis on one hand that the railroad might think badly of this, and then you have the certainty that they'll have a problem getting emergency services in the most rapid way possible. So if anybody here, for example, would volunteer to have their emergency response time doubled or tripled, stand up if you think that's a great idea.
Have you actually gone and looked at the slab?
Sir, I've been to that slab and crossing more times. Well, I wasn't born here, but I've been enough to have a good visual representation of that in my head. By the way, that slab has been there since before most of us were
understood
complaining about it. So the chances of doing anything in the next time.
Here's the point of this: is I live in Hamlin Township. My fire department is Hamlin Township. My response time is 20 minutes, 25 minutes at best. So the point of it's to me, I think the challenge for the county is the weight of risk associated with the slab, with time in there, and what you're saying, and time with response to the fire department or emergency services.
Yeah. Let's consider that risk for a second. Last fall, at the time that supposedly that slab had just been barricaded so nothing could go across it, at that time, Farmer Weddle was bringing over his bales of hay over that slab. Mm-hmm. Bales of hay. I don't know if we want to do a balancing act there and see which way is more, your emergency services vehicle or that farm machinery. But no one was complaining about that. But to the point, I talked to, is it Glenn Elmore, the fire chief over here in Fallsburg? And I asked Glenn, this was last week on Friday. So, I'm here for some lumber from Bill Pools, just got that. And I stopped by and said, by the way, is it really true you can't get emergency vehicles over there, like an ambulance? I was specific about an ambulance. And he said, well, the Columbus ambulances can't do it. But we don't have Columbus ambulance service. We have IU ambulance. They can. That's a good reason to have IU ambulance. So the point is that he was saying they were all in for holding this crossing. And they can get over that with their ambulances. So is anybody asking to double their time, volunteering to double their time to get emergency services? Because that's certain. That's not a hypothesis of an angry and truculent railroad or a silent railroad. This is the real deal. Of course, it's also certain that property values have been diminished and ways of life have been distorted. These are certainties. And of course, you're right about the fact that it was easier to close it than it was to open it, but we know why it was easier to close it. The certainties you have in hand, gentlemen, are what you should be addressing, in my humble opinion.
Okay, thank you for your input. Thank you, Kevin, also. Kevin, both Kevins.
One, I guess, Bert.
Yeah, go ahead.
Since I'm going to keep doing this. Hello, my name is Kevin Allen. I've been a resident of Brown County for the past 22 years, is it now? I worked with Scott to prepare the exhibit that you see on the table here in front of you, as well as reviewing with Scott the petition documents and exhibits that go along with it. Everything that's been said here is addressed in the petition that Mike Moga, just this afternoon, we exchanged a couple tweaks on it. So all of the concerns about the detour for the Weddle family, the added response time for the ambulances, the accessibility of larger delivery trucks, those are all spelled out in our petition as reasons for and against doing this. Again, the issue, and I'm not trying to dissuade anyone from speaking or belittling any other comments that have been made today or in the past. The issue is, do you file the petition? Because all of these things that are being discussed now will be revisited as the petition moves forward. So, just want to clarify that.
Okay, anyone else?
I'd still like to know how much it's going to cost. Yeah. And if Matt Pierce we'll talk to the president of the railroad. It's been this long, a couple more weeks. I know everybody's impatient, everybody wants it. But let's just make sure if we can get them on the same page, I think it would be worth doing.
And that's quite your obligation and decision to make that.
Right.
Okay. As far as the pricing goes, these two or three small warning signs of narrow road and one lane bridge, they're no more than $500. As a matter of fact, they're only like $75 a piece. With the crossbuck signs, with the stop sign, I think, Mike, we looked back and forth, they're around $2,500 a set or something like that.
Yeah, pretty close.
So the physical signage that would have to be installed, the narrow road, the one lane bridge, the railroad crossbucks putting back in, probably wouldn't be more than $5,000 to $6,000.
That's really not the cost that
you are, and you are absolutely correct. And what I do not have is the cost of the installation of the infill between the tracks, whether that's going to be the concrete slabs, crease of timbers, filling with asphalt, because right now you've got 6-inch rails that the cars would have to bunny hop over. To put that back to a crossing, that would have to be smoothed out. And I believe, and I will try to find this out for everyone, that work would have to be done by railroad crews. And I don't have ready access to that kind of cost. I apologize for that. But I will make an effort to find that out.
I believe it had cross ties of timbers to fill that in originally. Taken out. Is that true? Yeah.
Yes, they were timbers before, yeah. Solid timbers.
A couple of the other costs I think we might know is the $3,500 the railroad gave us, is that correct? And did we apply for a grant and receive $10,000?
That was kind of some wording that wasn't correct. That was a reimbursable. So there were not, we did not spend that, so that was not a grant of money given to us up front. And that was available if we spent money and got reimbursed.
So the $10,000 We never got a $10,000?
No.
So county received $3,500?
Yes.
And then the railroad come out and took out the crossing?
They did all the work themselves.
And now the railroad will be the one that has to put the crossing over the tracks back in?
Correct.
Is that something that NDOT directs the railroad and tells them to put the crossing in? And who pays for the crossing?
You're asking our question, and I think the petition process reveals what that cost will be. They may say, we need a tunnel. Who knows? I don't think so. when we petition, we tell them what we think we need to do as a county. NDOT reviews that, all the information, and then says, well, we agree or we disagree, and here's what we would like to see in addition to what you did. Grade changes, tunnels, whatever it is. And then at that point, we'll know there's no binding anything on the county. You can decide how you want to move forward. It may actually trigger a conversation with the railroad.
I kind of like to have the conversation with the railroad first. I try and even call the railroad myself. Whether I'll get an answer, don't know. No, you know the next item? Mr. Pierce, he got a response from the railroad, didn't he?
Yeah, he can talk to him. And again, his advice was, let's focus on the petition, start the process of that discussion then, and NDOT can give us input. The railroad can contribute to that. That was his suggestion, and I hate to quote him, but I think that's good advice.
I think I understand that in order to start this process, we need to submit the petition to NDOT. That doesn't obligate us to do anything further. That will get the door open for a conversation between NDOT, us, and the railroad. The railroad will know that we have done this. Then that will bring them to the table. But we've got to do something first to initiate this. Because right now, NDOT, Scott and I talked to them yesterday, and they're waiting on this petition. They said, you know, there's nothing to do until you tell us you want to do something. And the way you tell us you want to do something is by filing a petition. That gets the conversation started. But my concern all along was much as yours is, I didn't want us to get ourselves involved in something that we couldn't back out of, or that might wind up in costing us a lot of money, or even possibly a lawsuit. So that's the last thing we want for the taxpayers of Brown County. We want to make sure that we move forward in a way that's fiscally responsible. And we won't know really what it's going to cost to completely open this crossing, because it depends on what the railroad might require and what they won't do it themselves. They have R.J. Corman or some outfit that does the work for them, and they'll have to get a price on that, et cetera, et cetera. So, but we're not going to know what the cost is until we initiate this conversation and get some numbers. So I don't see any reason why we can't go ahead and do this to initiate that, and then see, you know, where it goes from there. So, Randall, did you have something
else? Real quick, yeah. In this process, you've been offered nothing concrete by the railroad ever, except for that $155,000 debacle, which was incorrect at the beginning and was shown to be incorrect later on because they came back through another commissioner that they had interference. And then I found out from somebody knowledgeable about these things that interference is a non-issue, because they can do lots of electronics, right? So it was all noise. And my point is this. You've either been fed noise or nothing by the railroad so far. The chances of you getting anything certain, except that it's not $155,000, we know that now, is probably close to zero prior to actually engaging in the process. And getting rid of addressing the certainty that people have had their lives displaced and put at risk.
Sir, you need to step up to the mic so we can get your comments on.
No one's ever accused me of talking too little or too loud, too softly. So this is a recording.
She didn't say more.
Quiet. I apologize. But my only point is this: you've not been supplied with information by the railroad. It's any certainty at all, except for one very, very incorrect estimate of something that did not apply to that crossing. To go forward hoping that you're going to resolve this before you get involved with the negotiations and the process of the petition or the appeal, whatever the formal name of this is misguided. That's where you get certainty in that process itself. Going in advance, you can put an upper bound on it and say, well, we're a lower upper bound, say it's not going to be, you know, more than such and such. But you're not going to get certainty before that. And all you're going to do is waste the time you have at your disposal. I hope that's not the case, that you don't end up doing that. Anyway.
Thank you, sir. I'll make a motion that we go ahead and sign and submit this petition and get the ball rolling.
Okay. We have a motion. I hear a second. Not. I'll second the motion. Is there any discussion? Let me just say this. The track record of this crossing is in our fate. That crossing been there since 1920 or something. There's never in history been an accident there. I mean, you can't ask for a better track record than that. And I think that's something that could easily be pointed out to anyone concerned about the safety. And it could possibly be made even safer if we built up this, each of the approaches so it's a little more level coming up to it, which wouldn't cost a lot of money. So, you know, I think we're not asking for something that's unreasonable, even to the railroad, if they will hear our case. And I think they will. So, I think we should proceed with it. We have a motion and a second. And if there's no discussion, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay. All right. Thank you all for your time tonight. And
we still have to
look forward to see what. Well, we get done.
We got the other business.
Yeah, we got next on our agenda will be, well, let's go ahead and do Mike. Mike?
Okay. Thank you. First item, which I mentioned to you earlier, back in April, we had passed a petition. You had voted on it on April 5th meeting for the help vacating the alley in Helmsburg. And then we had directed the property owners that it was up to them to pay the expense to get a attorney to prepare a deed to do the transfer for that. So I have a copy of it here. If you gentlemen would like to review that and then make a decision if you're ready to accept it and sign it.
Okay. Really not a very large issue. One of our constituents is asking us to close an alley that really doesn't exist currently anyway. You can't drive down it. It's got a light bulb in the middle of it, propane tank, and some other things.
Right. It was an old platted alley that was never built.
Exactly. And so the landowners adjacent have worked out a deal for one of them to purchase the half from the other party, so that one party will own the entire part of the alley that's being vacated. So this is the deed that they prepared for that. And it would be the Board of Commissioners conveying that alley property to the constituency once they have closed.
And attached to that, that's what this Julian and I were just talking about. Attached to that also is the agreement between the two parties to
yes.
transfer the ownership amongst themselves.
Okay.
So they're an agreement that both halves would go, typically half would go to each owner, but the owners have agreed they made a settlement to give it all to one person.
No money changing hands here?
No.
From the county?
No.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with it. I'd entertain a motion for acceptance.
Motion to accept.
Here a second. Hearing none, I'll second the motion. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Staying.
Staying, okay. All right, passes.
If you guys would sign it on page two. Yep, sign it. And then while you're doing that, just a couple of the quick updates. Actually, we've actually started our grant paving cycle for this year early. Milestone had some openings, some other projects that got delayed. So they actually started on North Shore on Monday doing wedging. And my new office bookkeeper, Lisa, has been good about posting some updates to our Facebook page to let everybody know the schedule and what they're working on. And since that does have a lot of traffic and there's there's a very long detour to get through Monroe County to get back around. So the wedge, we've actually been doing one lane at a time under traffic, which we typically like to do full width, but we've been one lane in the wedge. So that'll help out. And it gets everybody up to speed on the fact that they're working. And it's gone very smoothly. They on Monday, they did the majority of the south lane, finished it up this morning, and then backtracked to the county line and started on the north lane. So they're pretty close to getting the wedge finished now. So it's going smoothly. So then once they finish North Shore, then we'll move to South Shore and then to Bean Blossom. And we wanted to wait to do Bean Blossom until after school's out because of a lot of the bus traffic that goes up to Sprink Elementary. So we'll keep them off that route, especially. So that's going well. We had talked about the new round of cycle for the grants at the last meeting, so those will open up some about July 5th, I believe, is the opening date for the next round that we'll apply for. Good news on our trucks, dump trucks that we've been waiting for about 2 years. They actually have one of them, about 75% built now with the bed and the snow equipment on it. As soon as they finish it, they'll start on the second one. So even though we were promised first quarter, we're not even going to make the second quarter on both of them probably, but at least they're in the works and we're coming through. So we'll move through on that. We did have a property damage issue where the guardrail on one of our bridges got hit last week, but the person who did it, the neighbors had it on their trail cam of the truck that did it, so the sheriff's department tracked them down, and so they have agreed to pay whatever the damages are to fix the guardrail. So we did an emergency repair last week, and then they'll pay us to go back and do the permanent fix. So that's good that we were able to track that down. And other than that, just keep in mind that it's going to be here before we know it to start on budgets for next year. Be due in July, so I will get you updates on all the fuel costs and some of the other items to start looking at for the 24 budgets as we do our budgets. And then by the end of the month, I'll do the closeout on the 2021 grant. So we'll have a little closeout and ready to apply for the next new one.
Good.
I think other than that, that's all I had.
Yeah, I drove down South Shore Drive last weekend, and I saw where you already started some work there. This road closed signs.
Yeah, that's one thing we've started doing with them is doing the advance notice signs, because that helps. Because even no matter where you post it, you know, we try to get the Democrat to post it on their web page, which they have, or any of the notices that we put out. Not everybody sees those, but if you live on the road, hopefully you'll see a big orange sign at one end or the other that tells you when it's going to be closed. So we do the advance notices first, and then usually within 48 hours we'll put up another sign that gives them an actual date. That way that everybody's aware of the fact that there is going to be work done on the road. But we still get the phone calls of, you know, once they get started of, you know, oh, I had to sit in line for 5 minutes and wait on them. Well, be thankful your road's getting paved.
Yeah.
So that's a small price to pay for new asphalt at $150,000 a mile.
I thought I'd just take a drive around and go down South Shore and cut across and come back up North Shore. I got lost down in there. I'm telling you, there's no way to get around that end of that lake. I mean, I was on five different roads.
No, it's not like you can drive. Back. You can't drive across the dam, so you've got to go to Bloomington to get around.
And by the way, when we get our part done there, we're going to make Monroe County look kind of ashamed of their part of the road over there. Because ours would be a lot better than what they had.
And they did do some work on theirs last year. But
yeah.
But ours will still look
nice. North Shore.
Yeah, South Shore won't.
But South Shore not.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, but when you go across the causeway, that is one blessing that we have, is Monroe County is responsible for all of the causeway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we don't have to worry about that, even though a small piece of it is in Brown County.
Okay. I'm wondering.
So that was an agreement years ago that because they have to come all the way across to turn around.
Okay.
Because of the guardrail.
Yeah.
So Monroe County maintains the whole causeway.
Okay, good.
It's good for us.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Okay, another business. We have a contract for lawn care at the Brown County properties that was being done by David Rudd, and he's sort of retired or semi-retired, and a fellow that worked for him is willing to take over the same
mowing at the same price. Name is Kyle Hayworth, and we have a contract signed with him to do that. And I guess we should probably vote to approve that contract.
Motion to approve the contract.
Motion and second. Any discussion?
Yeah, there was one thing.
Yes.
They approached the LEC and the EMA. They was wondering if the 135 covered the whole thing.
Yep, it's all.
Okay. Yeah, I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Okay.
Very good. Anything from Mike Mogan for legal?
No, nothing else to add, just that we'll continue to tweak that petition, make sure it's finalized, and then present it to you guys for kind of final approval before we submit it to end up.
Okay.
Very good.
Entertain a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Thank you all for coming. Have a good evening.